again, everyone. Welcome to the Tri-State College Basketball Podcast. I'm Brian DeNovellis, and last week, the new-look Metro Atlantic Athletic Conference, the MAC. They held their media day in Atlantic City, and the coaches have spoken. They say Quinnipiac is the team to beat. First time the Bobcats have ever been tabbed as preseason favorites. And why not? Tom Pokora's team is loaded. He returns three starters from last year's MAC regular season championship team, led by Savion Lewis and MAC preseason player of the year, Amari Monroe, formerly known as Amari Tice. Those two, get this, those two players are the only returning players from last year's MAC all-conference teams. 15 players were on that list. 15, only two returning. Signs of the times, NIL, grad transfers, whatever it is, both of those players are on Quinnipiac. No brainer, right? So Quinnipiac is one, Marist is two, Iona three, Fairfield four, St. Peter's five, and so on to newcomer Sacred Heart at number 13. So let's take a dive into the MAC on this Tri-State College Basketball Podcast. And who better to talk all things MAC than the MAC daddy, the miggity miggity MAC daddy himself, Jaden Daly, who covers the MAC year round. Jaden, welcome back, my friend. Good to see you and good to talk to you.
Ryan, always a pleasure, my friend. And you outdid yourself with the introduction, number one. And number two, it's great to prepare for another season. I look forward to another year of travel, maybe a little less than this past year, but we'll see what the future holds. And it's always a pleasure to come on and talk with you on some of the locals here in the area and those beyond the city limits that sometimes get overlooked just because of the mid-major level and the major outlets not really worrying about their stories, even though there are a lot of good stories to be told.
And Jaden, how long, just tell our listeners, how long have you been covering MAC for your report, A Daily Dose of Hoops?
This is actually going to be year number 14 covering the MAC. It'll be 18 overall. So I got involved with that conference a few years later after I started branching out my website beyond St. John's. And Fordham, Iona, was one of the first places to open its doors to me. And then from there, it just kind of took on a life of its own.
Yeah. And why not? You know, listen, you found a great niche there. You mentioned it. You also cover St. John's and Fordham and Seton Hall and Rutgers and UConn. So you've done it all in this reach. It's kind of like a tri-state report yourself. And, you know, how many games did you get to last year? Did you hit 100?
Hit 110.
100.
Got to 110 in the national championship.
That's right. And that was your first time at the Final Four covering it, correct?
It was, yeah.
What was that like?
Definitely a different experience from what I'm used to in the area. By far the highlight of my career, just with the media availabilities and how everyone from every outlet feels at home. That was probably more resonant for me than having a courtside seat on the baseline in front of 70,000 people. It was more of the intimacy for me and being able to sit up close and personal with some great basketball minds and people the likes of Dan Hurley, who I've known since he was at Wagner in the NEC 15 years ago. And to watch him complete the journey again and repeat as a national championship winning coach, pretty nice to see, considering that, a decade and a half ago, you and him were in a league that was riding the buses up and down the turnpike and the throughway and what have you.
Yeah. Yeah. Big time college hoops for sure. And, you might go to a Manhattan Iona game, and I don't know if you're the only reporter there. You might have two or three other people, I would assume, compared to the biggest college basketball stage in the country, correct? Quite a difference.
Yes, and more often than not, I am the only one on press or at MAC games. I remember a lot of St. Peter's games early on when I started going to Jersey City, where I was the only one that would talk to John Dunn, and it's something that strengthened my relationship with John, who doesn't really talk to many media in the area. And it's some stuff like that is something I'm pretty grateful for, Brian, just to be able to connect with these coaches and players as human beings and beyond the uniform and beyond the suit.
Yeah. You know, and that's how you get stories. I mean, the relationships you build, the trust that you build with these people that you're interviewing, and your connections, and it's great stuff. So let's begin. Let's go around the MAC, shall we? Okay.
Absolutely.
You were in Atlantic City for the preseason gathering, and coaches, you know, have their poll. You have your opinion. You know, what do you agree with? What do you disagree with their 1 through 13?
Well, I think Quinnipiac is the unquestioned number one, as you mentioned, with actually four returning starters. Alexis Reyes was a starter for the majority of last season, and he's back as well, along with Amari Monroe, Savion Lewis, and Paul Otieno. And Tom Pecora still has a very good cadre of role players as well. Really didn't have to go into the portal much, but he did get one person to replace Matt Blanc, and it's someone who, when you look at his last name, you'll recognize immediately because it's New Jersey basketball royalty, and that's Ryan Mabry. He's Roy's son and Marina's younger brother, yeah, who transferred from Miami University and can be a spot-up shooter and a lethal marksman that Pecora envisions being maybe the starting two guard and getting a lot of the minutes that were vacated by Blanc's graduation. So it'll be interesting to see how he blends into this lineup in this rotation that has a lot of experience. I think the Bobcats are far and away the class of the lead. I do think that Merrimack was a little overlooked. They were picked sixth in the preseason poll, but they have experience as well. And one thing that Joe Gallo, since he's come up from the NE10 in Division II, has shown is his team can adapt right away. And you look at the Warriors, and they remind me a lot of, and I don't like to pigeonhole teams and compare them because his program has always been in a class by itself, but those Merrimack teams remind me of the really good John Dunn defensive teams at St. Peter's and Marist that just really take you out of your element. They play a 2-3 zone, which is very hard for a mid-major team to try to simulate and practice. If you watch Merrimack in a live game situation, they're almost impossible to solve defensively. And I think that's going to catch a lot of teams off guard in the MAC. You look at a guy like Bud Clark, the sophomore point guard, who's 5'9", 5'10", but is Philly tough and has a swagger about him on both ends of the floor that is going to translate very well in the league. They have size, they have depth, and I think out of everyone who can challenge Quinnipiac, it's going to be Merrimack, and I think it's going to be Iona, who was picked third. Tobin Anderson has a new roster this season, as he did last year, but more well-rounded, tougher, more talented, deeper, and I think that'll go a long way as well.
How does, you know, Tobin Anderson, that's 3 years in a row that Tobin Anderson is coming in and revamping an entire roster, doing it at Fairleigh Dickinson, and then last year at Iona, and now this year. I'm not saying he loves doing it, but if there's anyone that you trust doing it to a roster, it's Tobin.
Yeah, I don't think any coach, Brian, loves doing it, but it's the nature of the beast now at the mid-major level where you're going to be gutted by the portal more likely than not. So you have to go in and get people out of the same place, the same system that's taking people from you. It's a catch-22. It's a double-edged sword. But I like the pieces that Tobin brought in. You look at a guy like Clarence Rupert, who, you're a New Jersey basketball guy, you'll remember him from the St. Peter's Elite Eight team, absolutely, where he started alongside Casey Nadefo. He's back in the MAC, and he's got a toughness about him that hardly any other forward in the league has. You look at a guy like DeJour Reeves in Northern Colorado, who played in the same system that ended up producing Dalton Knecht, who was a first-round pick in this past NBA draft after transferring to Tennessee. You look at a guy like James Patterson, who played in Tobin's system, but not for Tobin at St. Thomas Aquinas in Division II, a guy that averaged 24-9 last year and can score with the best of them. A guy like Jalen Barr, who was a Division II winner at Flagler College, a defensive specialist who's not going to set the world on fire offensively, but he's going to lock you down and really get in your grill. Guys like that are going to go a long way towards solving a lot of the problems Iona had late in the season, where it couldn't get a stop when it mattered and couldn't stop a team with two or three decent options. Now the Gales are just as loaded.
And if anyone can comb those Division II ranks, it's Tobin, because he came up and coached there, and like you said, at Stack, and did so well there. And those players at that level, those high Division II basketball players, let's face it, Jaden, they're Division I players, right? The Division I talent pool is so watered down now with whatever it is, 350, 360 teams. Those Northeast Conference teams are no different than a lot of those great and very good Division II teams.
It's true. You look at some of the high-level D2 teams, and Joe Gallo told me this a couple of times last season and also over the summer when we spoke, that had Merrimack stayed in the NE10 and not transitioned up to the NEC in 2019, he said they would have been a top-five Division II team in the nation. And you look at some of below major leagues, and no disrespect to any Division I conference, but I could probably find a handful of Division II teams that could jump in those leagues and not necessarily just go 500, but contend and compete and probably win with.
And we've seen with Gallo's teams, right? I mean, even when they were on probation, they were the best team in the Northeast Conference, or, you know, right up there, first or second best team right away.
Five years in the league, four regular season or tournament championships.
There you go. Right. And the 1 year that they won it, they were ineligible to go, which opened the door for who?
Fairleigh FDU.
And yeah. Tobin Anderson. So those two are certainly connected. Right. So we have these coaches that came over from the Northeast Conference that know each other very well, that are now in the MAC. You know, Tobin Anderson and Joe Gallo. And let's also bring in Sacred Heart and Anthony Latina, also transitioning in from the Northeast Conference to the MAC for the first time. And the coaches showing Anthony no respect and having the Pioneers picked last.
Yeah, Sacred Heart's much better than the 13th place team in the conference. And when I spoke to Anthony Latina, he was very hopeful that his team, that his rotation would be able to compete. He came out and said straight up, the league did him no favors having to play Quinnipiac and Iona in its first two conference matchups in December. So you're going up against the preseason favorite and the third place team that's been the class of the league for the majority of the past decade. But Sacred Heart has pieces. Yeah, you look at a guy like Tanner Thomas. Tyler's the younger brother before Tyler went off to Hofstra and won the Haggerty Award this past season. Tanner is just as good, maybe a little bit longer and a little better of a stretch 3-4 shooter type. You match him up with Amiri Stewart, who is a Division II transfer that Latina is very high on. Bryce Johnson is back with the Pioneers after realizing that the grass wasn't greener on the other side at Northeastern. He went back home, so he'll be back in the Pioneer rotation. Anquan Hill, who was at FDU many moons ago and won the NEC Rookie of the Year over Andre Snowdy, who's now at Stony Brook, Hill's at Sacred Heart. Aiden Carpenter, who was at Siena, is a good piece in the backcourt. There are a lot of talented players on this group, Brian, that I don't know if 13th was the right barometer when you look at other teams like a Canisius or a Niagara who had to retool their whole roster. I think Sacred Heart will probably be more like an 8-9 type. And I think that gives Latina and that gives his players motivation and a chip on their shoulder that they could use throughout the year.
Oh, no question. And Anthony would be the first to tell you that if they were to finish in the top eight, that would be, you know, a good, solid first year in the MAC. There's no question about it. Forget about overachieving. You finish in the top eight, there's some very good teams, 1 through 8.
Yeah.
So let's move on. All right. We talked about Quinnipiac. We talked about Iona, of course, Merrimack, Sacred Heart. How about Fairfield? That's a team that was one win from going to the NCAA tournament last year when they got knocked off by St. Peter's. So how about Chris Casey and the Stags?
Well, Fairfield was picked fourth, and that surprised me because I still don't know what to make of that team yet. I don't know if they're good enough for fourth place as it stands right now. You have a lot to replace in that backcourt, the leadership and the experience of guys like Caleb Fields and Jalen Leach, Bryson Goodine and Jasper Floyd. They've all departed.
That's either backcourt transferred,
either transferred or graduated. Absolutely. But you look at someone like a Deion Perry, who was at Loyola and will probably be the microwave scorer that Fairfield looks to. Kyle Jenkins, who came from Lafayette. You may remember him as the guy who hit the three-pointer in the final seconds to beat Rutgers a couple of years ago early in the year at the Rack.
Yes.
Louis Bleachmore and Barima.
Rutgers remembers him.
Yeah. Louis Bleachmore and Barima Sek up front. Fairfield has pieces. I don't know if they're top five good yet, but time will tell, and the beauty of the season is you can never be so sure until you actually go out there and see what you have on the floor. As for St. Peter's, I'll follow up after you mention them.
You go right into it.
Last year, that was the biggest enigma for me, but what I've come to know about Bashir Mason and his teams, when he is able to keep players in his system, those teams become better. St. Peter's is picked fifth, and rightfully so. They're a top five group. Marcus Randolph, Armani Ziegler, he still has a couple of holdovers from the Elite Eight team in Muhammad So and Brent Bland, who were red shirts that year for Shaw, but have since become valuable role players and pieces in the rotation. St. Peter's knows what it is. The concept of team identity is so crucial in a league like the MAC, where you know what you're going to get. St. Peter's is going to be the team that comes up and tries to bully ball you every time. And Bosch has the pieces to make it work. I don't think it'll be as much of a surprise as last season was. Now they know what they're expecting. And what I'm expecting is a team that's in a contend.
That is just so true because, you know, listen, the old cliche, defense wins championships. You go up against the St. Peter's team, and here's another cliche. You know, you'd rather go in for a root canal because you know it's going to be a grind, and you know it's going to be in the 50s or 60s, and, you know, the complete opposite of playing a Quinnipiac team where it could be a track meet. So is that a system that works? Absolutely. Is that a system that works for everybody? Absolutely not. But it sure as hell works at St. Peter's because it just it exemplifies, you know, that blue collar city.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you look at what St. Peter's has had through the years, and that identity has remained even through the different coaching changes. Bashir Mason now, and then Shaheen Holloway before that, and John Dunn before him. But the ethos of St. Peter's has traditionally been a defensive-minded team, an defense-oriented program. Now, I'm too young to remember when Ted Fiore was there in Jersey City, but that's just how St. Peter's has been for the last, you know, 15, 20 years. A team that's not intimidated by you and is going to make you work for everything you have.
No doubt. And a team that sticks to its identity, right? That buys it. That's important. Let's go south in Jersey to Ryder. Kevin Baggett always has a talented team, has not been able to get over the hump and win the big one. And now they're picked seventh. Is that about right?
Yeah, that's a fair barometer for Ryder. And you mentioned it. Ryder's just been snake bitten for so many years in this conference. So you look at some of the talent that Kevin Baggett has produced over the years, and he's going to have to replace Mervyn James, which is not going to be easy, but he has the Weeks brothers, TJ and Tyreek, back for another year. He's got Tariq Ingram in the middle, which is going to help, a big 6'9", 250-pound body who can bump and grind and out-muscle you in the paint. You look at a guy like Ruben Rodriguez, the sophomore point guard who developed under Corey McKeithen last year as a freshman and now has the keys to the car, so to speak. Zion Cruz, the DePaul transfer. Jay Alvarez is going to be a bucket getter, a transfer from Houston Christian, formerly Houston Baptist. Mm-hmm. He's going to find a way in the rotation and score. Ryder has pieces. And you look at team identity. We mentioned it with St. Peter's. Ryder has always been one of the top defensive teams in the MAC, even if people don't talk about them a lot. You look at the advanced numbers. They've always found a way to hold teams under 1 point per possession, and that's great no matter what level you're on. When you look at a league like this, it's even better.
Very well said. Jaden, I cannot let this pass because, believe me, I've done things like this myself. When you talked about the coach at Ryder, you said Kevin Bannon and not Kevin Baggett. So you're going way back to 94 and 95 with that one.
I misspoke.
yeah, but you know what? KB, Kevin Bannon, Kevin Baggett, it can happen, right?
Yeah, Kevin Baggett is just as snake bitten as Kevin Bannon was.
Right. You know, is that the last time that Ryder went to the NCAA tournament, winning a conference championship when they were in the Northeast Conference?
Yes, it is 1994.
So we're going back, right? We're going back, but there's a lot of teams in the MAC, you know, that are there now that have years of not winning the MAC. You know, Iona, you mentioned they won 14 championships, more than any other. They are the model program, the team to beat every year, you know, in terms of the standard bearer. And a team like Marist, you know, they always seem to be in the mix, but yet they've never won it. So is this a year that maybe John Dunn, you know, gets it done there? He won at St. Peter's, now trying to do it there. You know, and they have one of the best players in Josh Pascarelli.
Yeah, Marist is very intriguing. Last year was a very good foundational year for John Dunn. I think even he would say they may have overachieved a little bit because he had the question of how you were going to replace a guy like Patrick Gardner, who was a near 7-footer in the middle, who did everything for them. But they got good post play out of Max Allen, who's now in the professional ranks in Vietnam. And the backcourt really learned and developed on the fly. That's something that Marist is going to have to look forward to this year. And maybe it's a little bit of a concept change offensively, whereas you've been post-driven for the past couple of years, and now you're looking at guards that are going to have to drive and kick and make plays a little more. But I think Marist is forwardly placed. Do I think they'll win the conference? Maybe not. Do I think they'll contend, and do I think they can beat anybody 50-48 on any given night? It's John Dunn. Absolutely they will.
Right, and if there's one thing we've learned from the MAC, you know, just throw the records out once conference tournament play comes in, right? 1-8, whoever it is, has a chance. And again, I'm listening to every word, Jaden, because you are just, you know, you're pulling nuggets of information. I don't know where you're pulling them from. And that's why I love listening to you talk about the MAC. Did you say playing professional basketball in Vietnam? That's
yes.
Those are words I've never thought of in my life. Professional basketball in Vietnam. I'm picturing, like, you know, cages and, you know, just not a safe, stable atmosphere to play basketball.
Yeah, Max Allen's been playing in a Vietnamese professional league over the summer, and I believe early September as well. I'm not sure when their season ends, but he actually is of Vietnamese descent, I believe, through his mother's side. So,
wow,
it was a family tie as well that he went over there and played overseas.
That's why I love picking your brain with this stuff, Jaden. It's just incredible. If people want to play college professional basketball, right? I mean, there's opportunities all over this planet to make money. Really good stuff. So last but not least in our tri-state teams in the MAC, Manhattan. This is a program that is seen better years and seen better times. They're coming off a 7-win season. Can John Gallagher, I guess no place to go but up for John Gallagher.
Yeah, John Gallagher is one of the most overly confident people I've ever met in this business. He's just effusively and eternally optimistic. And he had nothing but great things to say about his vision and his potential for this year's team, which has a lot of upside, even after losing Seydou Traore, who transferred to Iowa. Jaden Winston is back for his sophomore year at point guard. He played 37 minutes a game as a freshman and got thrown into the fire and had to grow up right away when Brent Rumpel tore his ACL at the Hartford Civic Center against UConn the day after Thanksgiving last year. He'll be ready to go by the start of the season, and he could play multiple positions. So Having a defensive stopper there is going to help Winston grow. Having a guy like Devin Dinkins, who transferred in from George Mason, is going to give Gallagher the double ball handler attack that he wanted to have last season but didn't after Rumpel went down. Shaq Bender, who a lot of people thought might transfer out because he was a double-digit scorer last season, Philadelphia kid, is back. He's a second-team All-MAC honoree preseason, and he'll be a bucket-getter. And you look at guys that John Gallagher brought in. Messiah Gilliard is a Brooklyn freshman who can score the basketball. Will Sidnor is a 6'9 forward from the Patrick School in Jersey that came in with a decent amount of hype in the preseason and should have a chance to make an impact right away. Manhattan has more height. Manhattan has more length than it did a year ago. And more importantly, John Gallagher is not playing 7 or 8 guys a night. He can go 9, 10, sometimes 11. And depth in this conference is just invaluable. You can't put a price tag on it, Brian. I think that alone is going to help the Jaspers compete. I don't know if they're 10th place good. I think they'll be 6 or 7, honestly, by the time it's all said and done.
Okay. So you excellent. So Jaden, you've told us some teams that you know, hey, are undervalued and overvalued. Let's kind of focus on that right now, okay? Based on the MAC preseason coaches poll, 1 through 13, give me one team that you think will overachieve the most, meaning finish the highest or higher than they should have, and the team that may underachieve the most.
I'm gonna say Merrimack will be the bigger overachiever from the number 6 pick in the preseason poll. I think they could very easily threaten to win the regular season. They'll be first or second, I think, most of the year. And as far as someone who might underachieve or maybe not perform up to the expectations, I have to go with Fairfield because I'm just too concerned with how you replace 4 senior guards that were the backbone of everything you did last year. And that's something that I need to see from the Stags before I really buy into them going into the season. They were picked 4th, I think, off potential. I don't know if they're that good. I honestly don't. I hope they are for the sake of the lead because Fairfield's always been a great program historically for the MAC. But I have to take a wait-and-see approach until I see what the new blood in the backcourt looks like.
Well, listen, I trust your opinions on these things. We're rooting for Fairfield, obviously, because it's great for the MAC and their fan base is rabid. And somehow, some way, if somebody from Fairfield's listening to this, maybe you just provided some bulletin board material. And what's wrong with that, Jaden?
Right? And Chris Casey and Glenn Breaker are two good friends of mine that I've known forever since they worked with Norm Roberts. So I would love to see them do well.
These are opinions, and Lord knows you and I have both been wrong more than we've been right. So nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. So Jaden, as we wrap up, last question about the MAC this year. What are you most looking forward to with this conference?
I do want to see how this rookie crop turns out. I think this is a better freshman group than maybe the last couple of years just off of upside. If they can keep everybody together for the most part going into next season, I think the lead is very forwardly placed. And I want to see how the new tournament format in Atlantic City shakes out. Remember, the bottom 3 teams in the conference don't make the tournament this year. It's the first time in MAC history that not every school has the guarantee of playing in the conference tournament. It's only the top 10 now that will make the tournament. So the regular season becomes even more important. And with the unbalanced schedule, you're going to have schools that only have a one-off Buffalo trip and don't have to play both Canisius and Niagara. They can get away with one or the other. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, in January, February, the games that we usually take for granted more often than not now have a larger meaning and could loom larger the last week of February when I'm trying to come up with tiebreakers and figure out who's playing who when.
Right. Jaden, great, great stuff. You know, it's kind of like the old Big East when they had 16 teams and I think it was 15 and 16 didn't make the Big East tournament. So that's the way the MAC unfolds this year. You know, the growth, the expansion has provided new opportunities for new teams to enter and challenge. But also you better make those top 10, like Jaden said, because 11, 12, and 13 are not getting the invite to Atlantic City. Jaden, I just want to say thank you. All right, you can catch Jaden on A Daily Dose of Hoops. Check him out, writing his daily blog. Just research and Google Daily Dose of Hoops. You can also follow him on Twitter at Daily Dose of Hoops. And how about your podcast, Jaden?
Yeah, we're going to get the Daily Dose of Hoops podcast back on track this season. I've always said I wanted to do more with it every year. And more often than not, I just never find the adequate time to schedule and book guests and work everything around my live coverage. But I'm hoping to do a lot more with that this season. Brian, you'll have a spot on there at some point during the year. We'll figure out the logistics with that as we move along. But I thank you again for the opportunity, and I can't wait to put the ball up in the air.
Yeah, I would love to come on, Jaden, and I agree with you. Hey, will you be at Rutgers St. John's Thursday night? I know the answer, but I just want to hear it.
I will. I will see you at the Rack if you're making the trip as well.
Yes, I will see you at the building formerly known as the Rack. Can't wait for that game. That is going to be the most anticipated preseason, scrimmage in the tri-state for sure. Jaden, we'll talk to you very soon. Thanks for the time.
Absolutely, Brian. Thank you for having me. My pleasure.
All right, there he is, Jaden Daly from Daily Dose of Hoops. Check out his newsletter and follow him on X, as I said. The MAC is always unpredictable. Look, Quinnipiac, could it be their year? It should be, but we know crazier things have happened in the MAC come tournament time. Any one of six teams, I would say, can come out on top this year. That's what I would put it at. In any particular order, Quinnipiac, Marist, Iona, Fairfield, St. Peter's, Merrimack, I would say odds on favorite, any one of those six, if they win the conference tournament, I would not be surprised. Anyone outside of those top six, I would be very surprised if any of them won the conference tournament. That's how unpredictable the MAC is. Pick any one of those, and your prediction is as good as mine. All right, college hoops. We are less than 1 month away. Just about 3 weeks until the college basketball season tips off. I thank you once again for listening, downloading, and sharing the Tri-State College Basketball Podcast. Before we go, I'd like to thank my sponsor, Mike Supa of Remax Revolution. He is a trusted name in real estate. If you're looking to buy, sell, or list a home down the Jersey Shore in Monmouth or Ocean counties, give Mike a call, 201-988-2577. Tell Mike that Brian sent you from the Tri-State College Basketball Podcast. You will not be disappointed. Thank you, everyone. Until the next episode, I appreciate you listening, downloading, and sharing the Tri-State College Basketball Podcast. My name is Brian Dinovellis. So long.